Why are we here? Sometimes you really need to ask yourselves, and if anyone knows who John Wooden was, he was a famous coach, a basketball coach in UCLA. And one of the things I liked about John Wooden was that he emphasized strongly the fundamentals. And the team itself is a fundamental team. A lot of teams now, and especially in basketball, are wild and individualistic. But Coach Wooden was very much a fundamentalist, but in the pure word, the purest word. And it's important for a congregation to realize, why are you here? Because sometimes you can just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, and you realize, what am I doing here? So one of the reasons that you're here, is what I want to talk about, is we gather to worship. If we took every seat away and we didn't have food, why would you come? We should come here to worship God. That's what a huge reason. It's not the only reason, but it's a primary reason. You come here to worship God. God said, don't work. And we take the weekends for granted. In ancient world, there was no weekend. You worked. Man was made to work. God said, take one day off. America eventually developed, take 2 days off. But but Jewish life was, you take a day off, not so you can sit around, but that's just so you could go worship God. So let's go to the next slide. Because the really synagogues, what we call congregations, even churches, all this, all based around the temple. This is a model of the temple. You can actually see it in Jerusalem. Some guy built this whole detailed model, obviously not the size, but it's pretty awesome. You can see what it looked like 2,000 years ago. So originally, there were no such thing as synagogues, not for a long time. Everything centered around the temple. But there were, and let's think about, the temple primarily was a place of sacrifice and praise. You had animals being slaughtered all day, it was pretty gross, and you had priests singing praises to God. And then people could come over there and worship as well. The rabbis eventually, well, I wouldn't even say the rabbis, this is before rabbis, but eventually Jewish leaders developed synagogues. Many people believe in the time of the Babylonian exile, a place where people could get together and read the Word of God, the Torah, and sing, you know, worship God. So why do we gather on Shabbat? Here are some reasons, and I'm going to focus obviously on the worship one, but we also come to learn. We come to intercede. There's an intercessory priestly function that we serve. We come to encourage and to bless one another. We come to pray for people, for healing. Some people are down in the dumps. You come and lift them up. We build up, like we talked about before, in tongues, that all the gifts of the Spirit are here to build up people and also to be equipped to go out. Like Rabbi Michael saying, we're here not for ourselves. We're here to go out. I actually thought of this analogy the other day. I forget what the context was, but you got to think of us like an aircraft carrier, which is kind of a bizarre thing. It's a big boat that has airplanes on it. But why are the airplanes on it? So they can go out. Like, oh, let's take a cruise today. All right. They're on the boat so they can get closer to where they need to be to go. That's what we're like. Get on the ship, get refueled, see your buddies, have a snack, and then go. We're not here to sit on a boat. All right. Next. The basis of this whole talk is going to be from Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 7. So three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose. It's Jerusalem. Moses is telling this to the people before they enter. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, at the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, and at the Feast of Booths, Sukkot. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. When the people were only supposed to gather three times a year, And when they came to Jerusalem, to the temple, and even before the temple, before even the temple, the tabernacle was at Shiloh, when it was at other places, you had to come with something. You couldn't show up and say, I have nothing. I'm sorry. I'm too poor. You had to come with something. It's a commandment of God to bring something when you come into the presence of God. But notice, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. You should, when you come and bring something, maybe someone brings Dom Perignon, maybe you bring soda water. It doesn't matter, but you got to give something. Some people God is blessed with riches. Some people struggle to get by, but it doesn't matter. You come here to give. When you show up at the presence of God, he doesn't say he's blessed some. It said he's blessed all. The different blessings, but you have to come and give what God has given you. Next. So what should we give? Let's give ourselves. That's certainly something we can all relate with. God's given us life. With a couple of verses that will kind of enumerate what I'm saying, is David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. And in countless parts throughout the Psalms and throughout the prophets, God says, what do I need animals, sacrifices? What do I need that for? Are not all the goats and bulls and cows and rams, aren't they all mine anyway? Who cares? What does God need animals for? You think God gets thirsty that he needs blood? Or that he's bored up in heaven that he needs smoke and incense? That's nice. He doesn't need these things. He wants this. He wants ourselves. And notice that God has made every one of us different. It's not the same color that God wants. He wants different colors. And if someone were to say, well, I don't like my color. Their color is better than mine. The painting's incomplete. God wants us to bless him with who we are, what he's given us. And it's concerning the heart. Because we know, as God told Samuel when he's looking for David, he says, man looks at the flesh, but I see the heart. Saul was a big dude, tall, strong. He messed up big. David was a little guy. He said he was handsome, ruddy, but his heart was after God. That's how he succeeded. Notice, the Yeshua's quote here is in the negative, but I'll spin it to show you how it's positive. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The point here is, you can say all you want to God, but if your heart isn't speaking to him, who cares? I mean, I go through the list of when Yeshua denounces many of the Pharisees. He says they say long prayers, they say it. And even the Gentiles, they say long, they speak a lot. They want to be, look at me, how religious I am. But their heart's not in it. God could care less. Doesn't mean anything. What means something is here. When my daughter gives me her painting from school, but I put it in a museum, no. But I see her heart, Dad, look, this is for you. I can almost cry. Because I know it doesn't matter what's on the paper. It matters where it came from and how enthusiastic she was to give it to me. God would be more happy with those, kid paintings that we did for him than something from Van Gogh. Next. So you ask, how can we worship him? There are different ways to worship him. We can sing, praise him, as many of us would, be familiar with. We can dance. We also have that here. We can tell, as we often do. We testify. We speak of what God has done. We give him glory and honor. We can serve. A lot of people put down, you know, the Mary and Martha thing. Oh, look, she was serving. But Mary's in the more important thing. Yeah, but service is not unimportant. It's just the priorities of thing. You still need to serve. We can raise our hands. It's in the scriptures. It's not just charismatic doctrine. It's actually in the Psalms. You can bow. Praying tongues. We talked about it as the worship of God through the Spirit. And you can also prophesy. In Revelation, it says the testimony of Yeshua is prophecy. So you're testifying to Yeshua being on his throne when you speak from the heart of God to the people. These are all different ways we can worship. Does everybody have all these things? I don't know, maybe. Some people might, but probably not everybody has all of them. They're gifts. But we should use the ones that we have. Next. Now, someone might ask, well, does it have to be loud and big? People think that worshiping God, if it's true worship, has to be very loud, very big. Now, I have a loud voice. Ask my wife. She'd say, why are you yelling? I said, I'm not yelling. I just have a loud voice. If you're going to sing classical music, you have to be loud. So, this is something that I was gifted with. Do you have to sound like me? No. Now, this verse from Hannah, from 1 Samuel, it's regarding prayer, but the point sticks nonetheless. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. So while maybe some other guys were shouting, God, hear me, save me, do this for me, she was quiet, didn't hear a word. Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk because she would look like she was stammering. But God heard her heart, even though she uttered nothing. And then Yeshua brings up, he brings this example when he's at the temple when there's an old widow and she gives two mites, whatever a mite is, little pennies. After a bunch of big machers came and gave millions. He said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. But wait a second, she put in pennies, they put in millions. For they all contributed out of their abundance. It like meant nothing. It's like when a football player gets fined $25,000 for an obscene gesture. Doesn't mean anything to him. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'll get it back. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. She gave everything. So Yeshua sees her. It doesn't matter how much you give. She gave everything. And she was a widow. She didn't even have a husband to take care of her. And she still gave everything. Here are these big shots. They got tons of money. They're probably trying to outbid each other. Look how much I gave. Well, I'll raise you $1 million. I'll raise you $2 million. It's not about God. It becomes about them. She gave nothing, but she gave everything. That's what we're looking for here. I don't care if you have two pennies. Give two pennies, but give it with all your heart. If you are the worst singer in the world, sing. If you're too embarrassed, go in the corner or don't even sing, but just praise God. If you want to mouth the words, fine, but mouth it like no one's business. Give of yourself when you come in this room. However best way you can give, give. And again, and I say this a lot, God is always in the business of helping us to do his will. If he wants us to give, ask him to help you to give. Next. Okay. Speaking of opera, I was once in Germany. I was studying with a teacher in Tübingen, outside of Frankfurt. Really great tenor I was studying with. He was there to sing Messiah in this old church. It was really cool because they were doing all the old instruments from Handel's period. So actually, if you know music, it was even lower in pitch because the instruments back then were tuned differently. No brass, just all wood. It was really fascinating. And of course, being in Germany, Handel was German. It was really neat. And he was a believer. The guy was singing the tenor role and he's done it a million times, so, and it was awesome to study with him. But I remember the baritone there. American guy, I think he was American or English. And when it came to his solo, he sang, and it was beautiful. His voice was beautiful. The tone was beautiful. He did everything very musically well. Everyone clapped. And I just remember, and I stopped, and I thought, this meant nothing. This whole piece, this oratorio is about worshiping God. And he said nothing. It was hollow. Remember that example I brought about Princeton in the chapel? It was hollow. There was nothing in it. I didn't care how beautiful. I honestly don't even know how he sounded. I remember, like, logically, but his tone, nothing stuck to me. Because there was nothing in it. He didn't worship God. It was just sound. Remember when Shaul says, I'm like a banging a gong cymbal, right? Like, you going to remember it? Is Simon Cowell going to push you on to the next level? No. It means nothing. No one wants to listen to that. It meant nothing. It doesn't matter how gifted or talented you are. If your heart's unedited, who cares? It doesn't mean anything to God how loudly or how wonderfully you can sing or dance or any of that stuff. If your heart's not in it, it doesn't matter. But if your heart is in it, wow, how powerful that is. If your heart's in it, it brings great glory to God. And then God likes to show up, and that's great because that's what we're here for. We worship God, God shows up. Next. All right. So you maybe someone says that I've kind of touched on these before, but I'm going to give specific responses to this. Someone said, well, maybe I'm not musical. Maybe I failed music class. Go to Psalm 19 or 96 and read how it says in Hebrew Psalm 19, Hashemayim mesaparim kvod el. The heavens declare the glory of God. Anyone heard clouds sing? You read other psalms talking about the trees praising God. The whole earth rejoices. You ever heard a tree sing? Even remember Yeshua brings out, he says, you say you're the, or John says, the sons of, you don't say that I'm the son of Abraham because God can make sons from these stones here. Or rather, and then Yeshua says later that if they stop praising me, the stones will cry out. Anybody ever heard a stone? Not the rolling stones, the real stones. No. But you know what it is? They do what they've been created to do. That's what it is. We've been created to worship God. It doesn't matter if your voice is great or not. You worship God the way you can, but just worship God. Next, I'm not expressive. Like even Joseph said earlier, he's not a very emotional guy. He came up here, God spoke through him. But the best thing about what Joseph said is that he didn't resist. He felt the tugging of God, and he went along with it. And God used him to now speak in a different language through the Spirit the praises of God. And remember, it's supposed to give what you can. If you can give something, give it. If you can't give that, don't give that. Give what you can. Someone might say, I'm embarrassed. This is understandable. A lot of people don't like crowds. Remember, ultimately, you're doing this for God. If you can move to different parts of the room, close your eyes, you're worshiping God. And remember, everyone here is doing the same thing. So there's nothing to be embarrassed about. And pray that God would help give you the boldness to do that. Next. So some people might come in here with different attitudes to why they come to service. Someone say, well, I need to receive. I've had a rough week. I get it. I'm not denouncing that. Look, I know about rough weeks. I used to work in New York. You talk about rough weeks. I need to get. Right? I just want to go on Facebook. I need to get. Give me. I need to receive. You're more blessed when you what? When you give. You actually get more when you give. The analogy is, probably many of you heard it, the Dead Sea. Why is it dead? It doesn't give. It just receives, and then all of a sudden it's settled at the bottom, and then it goes, oh. It doesn't give. Don't be a Dead Sea. You have to give. That's not an, I'm not asking. God said give. And you will receive. There are moments, even at times I've gone into service, and I was like, oh gosh, I need, Lord, please, I need a touch. And then they're back in New York, and bless you. And the rabbi called up people to come for prayer. And he said, prayer team, come up. I'm like, I want to get prayer. I don't want to pray for people. So I go up and I pray for people. And then honestly, at the end of it, I felt better. That isn't saying don't give prayer, but don't let that impede you from giving. If you need to seek someone out to get prayer, so be it. But don't say, oh, I can't give. Give. It doesn't say give when you can. It says give what you can. All right, I come to learn. Learning is good. Remember it says in the Psalm, taste and see. You don't learn about food, you eat it. Taste God, see God. Then honestly, when you read the scriptures, it comes more alive because the Spirit of God is there. Don't ever try to read the scriptures without the Spirit of God. Experience God, worship God. Notice too, we don't start the service with the Torah. We work our way up to it. Someone might say, well, what do I get out of it? Again, this is this culture. I want. Like my posts. Give me. I need. Ooh, Amazon even has a one-click thing, right? You don't even have to put in your information anymore. I want that click. Give me this click. I don't like it. Send it back. Give me that. What do you get out of it? You'll be changed. You go into the presence of God, you will be changed. If you leave this place the same as you entered, you didn't give enough. You should give so much that you feel 100 times better than when you leave. Didn't God give you life? Didn't He save you out of death? Praise Him, worship Him. So when you go out there, you see you have something to give to people. That's the irony of the kingdom. You give to God, and then you have more to give to people. You don't come here to get so you can give. You come here to give so that you can give. Look at what Peter says. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You ever try to stumble through a room, and you can't see where you're going, then you finally find a light, whoa! Thank God there's a light. And I'm not talking about stumbling through your room. I'm talking about life. Imagine going through life. You can't see anything. You're stumbling all over the place. And then God finally goes, beep. The light turns on. Don't you always say, thank God, when the light turns on? Oh, I found it. Thank God. Now do that 100 times more. And go through Psalm 107. Go through Psalm 136. Where does list the things that God has done for His people. And that's what I was trying to get back with earlier, was saying, pray, think of stuff. Any times in the patriarchs when they had some momentous event in their life, what was the first thing they did? Called their friends? No. They built an altar. They sacrificed to God. And they proclaimed that they gave God another name. He did this for me. He did that for me. Well, I'm going to remember. This will be a statue for my children down the road, that they'll remember what God has done for me. We come here to worship God. We think about, we have 6 days. We work hard. We come here. Let's thank God for what He's done in general and specifically. Next. Look, let's be honest. I love food. Get a good something good in front of my face. I like Snoopy. I'll do the happy dance. Right? Like my daughter, she was really sad. She slept. We got to the JCC, took the other one to go swimming, bring your other one back. Then the little one wakes up. I want to go to the pool. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. We just got back from the pool. I want to go to the pool. I said, we'll go tomorrow. I want to go to the pool. I'm sorry. We'll go do something fun. I want to go to the pool. Want to go get ice cream? Ice cream. What? This is what God's giving us, ice cream. You come in here, think about what God has done for you. Think about who he is. Think about why he deserves to be praised. Do the happy dance for God. There's so much to be grateful for. So much. Next. Last picture, and then we're going to do something. This is a restaurant I used to work at. I worked with my father-in-law. He owned a restaurant for 30 years prior, but then he sold it, and then he started to manage. And this was the place I used to work at, La Cucina in Hewlett, New York. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. This, we served great Italian food. Clientele was a little rough, but I survived. My point is, there's a saying in the service world, mise en place, which means everything's set. You get make sure the cutlery's buffed. It's the dish, the wine glasses, you've got all the marks off. You make sure you have stock for everything. The kitchen's all stocked up. He's got the specials out. You've read over them. You've memorized them. You make sure you have all your pens in your apron. You're set. You're good to go. You know when the first person walks in that room, you're ready to serve. But at this place, you better be ready. The point is, when we come into this room, I would love to see, I'm not saying you don't do it, but just let's do more, that we're set, that we're ready. You come focused. You come prepared. You come with a purpose. You come with the intention, I'm going to worship God. And when the word of God is read, I'm going to listen to the word of God. And when the message is going on, I'm going to listen to that too. But we do this all for the worship of God. When I can serve, I'm going to serve for God. I've come here. I don't have anything else to do. I'm going to worship God. It's a date. You're going to dress up. You're going to enjoy yourself, right? Come here with the intention to worship God. And if he needs, you know what? Sometimes that means you have to get up and get yourself ready. Focus. Think about, what do I want to worship God about today? Become prepared. So the sacrifices of God had to be prepared. They had to be checked. Everything, God is a God of order. And he likes things to be done the way he likes it. But the good news is that it benefits us too. He's a great, giving, and awesome God. So come with the heart to give. Come with the heart to worship. The good news is that this place will be so filled. I would love to see what happened in Solomon's day with the presence of God comes and we got to leave. We have to leave because it's so intense. And the people say, there's something going on at Ohev Yisrael. God is there. God comes where he's worshipped, where he's welcomed. So what I want to do is worship God. So Steve, you here around, if you would, please. We're going to spend this time worshiping God. Right now, I want to pray real quick. I want everyone just to do some self-work and ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and see, ask him, how can I worship you more? We're always in the business of improving. Ask any professional, whatever they do, they're never satisfied with where they are. They're always going for more. How can I get better? How can I improve my craft? Same thing with discipleship. How can I become more like Yeshua? So let's bow our hearts, bow our minds, bow our eyes, and pray. How can you worship God more? And then we'll sing. and you give what you can. You ask the Lord, what have you given me that I can give back to you?